Hey, it's Sparky Fiverr, 1250 AM, the fan, host of the Potawatomi Sports Book Pro Hoops post-game show, served up by Wendy's after each and every Milwaukee Bucks game. You turn on your radio dial to 1250 AM, the fan, or stream it on the Odyssey app, and you can check us out after every Bucks game. He is Dwight Albert. He is the host of the Spare Time Pro Shop. If you go in, he'll give you a quick little spiel on what's going on in the world of bowling when you go in, and then he'll get geeked out by, drilling a bowling ball for you, and it'll be a lot of fun. And he's a very nice man, so go visit Dwight over there in New Berlin. And he, of course, the bearded one, Phil Brilo, $2 Phil. Follow him on Twitter at Brew City Bowling. Phil, you're off to Illinois this weekend. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, PBA 50 regional. Pete Weber's on the roster. Tom Adcock, who's a former PBA 50 Tour Player of the Year. Pretty strong field this weekend, sold out, be one day event. So the guys are going to get a lot, like 16, 17 games in one day on Saturday.
You said it's a PBA 50.
It's a PBA 50.
Yeah. I don't think that's very smart.
Yeah. Well, the guys are game for it.
Cause I mean, Dwight's in here. His back's thrown out. Well, you're going to ask people Dwight's age to go bowl 17 games.
PDW could probably bowl 17 more after he bowled the first 17.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
Still that good of shape.
Some of these guys,
I think the most I ever bowled in one day was 14.
Okay. They used to have a 20-gamer down in Waukegan. Yeah. That you used to bowl 10, you'd break for lunch, and then you'd bowl 10 more. Yeah. So you bowled across all 40 lanes in the center. You could have done that.
Okay. My hand was all bloodied up.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Games, yeah. As it was, all blistered up. That was before protective tape.
Right.
Dating myself again.
Yeah, that's all right. We're all old, all three of us. It's not just you. All right, so let's talk about the PBA All-Star Weekend that came and went. I watched none of it live. I recorded all 6 hours of it and then thankfully was able to watch all of it back before we came in here today. So first things first, let's get to the first day of the whole thing, the skills challenge and then the trick shots and all that other stuff that was going on. The striking part of it, not all that surprised that Kyle Troop did his thing. Packy Hanrahan wasn't all that good. So I'm not really surprised by all that. It is interesting, though, because I'm going to give you a different perspective, my kid's perspective, who's 8 now. And he was all about watching the trick shots. He's like, when you watch it, I want to watch it, too. So then he's like, well, there's Kyle Troop. Why isn't he doing it? Because he decided to do the strike one instead. Well, he should have done the trick shot one instead of the strike one. So you have this whole, conversation about how it's strategy. You got to figure out who bowls what. And obviously, they decided to go with Sean Rash for the trick shot. And obviously that paid off. And we'll get more into the trick shots in just a little bit. Do we like the strike competition as part of All-Star Weekend? Is that something that you like? Do you think that's entertaining? Because they got to fill 2 hours. So that's obviously part of it.
I thought it was going to be like when I first saw it, I thought it was going to be like the strike derby again. Give the guys 2 minutes, throw as many strikes as they can.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, I mean, it's an all or nothing format. You either strike or you get nothing. It's okay, but I understand that it's time constraints and everything, but I like to, give the guys 2 minutes yes. apiece and just let them gun.
The strike derby is definitely the better option over that of what they did.
Yes. And it would be neat to see, if they would have been able to get a NASCAR or some other celebrity in there for their 2 minutes just to show how few strikes they probably would have gotten in 2 minutes, too.
Yeah, and we will get to the NASCAR aspect of this coming up. Do you like that strike?
It was very entertaining. I actually kind of like the format.
Okay,
the
good.
Elimination
okay.
format. I kind of like that. They had that during LBC
yep.
In Portland, Maine. So I liked it. The question that I have for Phil, they call that place the barn. Mm-hmm. Out in Phoenix Speedway, the lanes, we talked about this a few weeks ago, and it came up obviously with the show. Are those lanes permanently structured in there?
No.
Who owns
it's inside lanes? Of a garage.
Yeah. Okay.
They're inside of a garage, like where a car would be to get worked on or whatever the case.
It's a giant bar. It's a giant, they use it for parties and stuff like that outside the NASCAR season and everything.
So then who owns that pair of lanes? Is that PBA owned or does a manufacturer come and install them?
Well, I don't know right off the top of my head. They used to, PBA used to own their own pair of lanes, whether that's still the same pair.
We go back to World Series of Bowling. Right. Correct. They own their own. They put them down every year and so forth. Now, if those are the same lanes from all those years ago that have just been sitting in storage, I would be amazed that if they're not newer. Only Tom Clark would know that. I have no idea. Maybe Jeff Riggles, if he's listening to this podcast, he would have a better understanding of this. But, yeah, I mean, I would assume they own them at this point. It would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Being there on property also makes a lot of sense, that works.
My one thing is they didn't have big enough names for the NASCAR part of this. I mean, there just wasn't big enough. Eric Almirola was the one guy that they probably knew more than anything. They weren't able to get the names. They weren't able to get Chase Elliott and some of these young guns Hamlin's old, but yes, Hamlin would have worked for sure. Even if you would have gotten some of the guys that are retired, Bowyer, Harvick, right? Even if you were to get some of those guys, now you really kind of bring that NASCAR element to it a little bit more than these guys that maybe aren't household names, where you're flipping through the channel and you're like, what is happening here? And then maybe you stay to see what is happening, and then you probably move on if you don't see anything that you like.
Yeah. I mean, I know Joey Meyer, he's been a pilot for a few NASCAR teams over the years. He was with Penske for a while, and he's a big bowler. He's from the Charlotte area. I ran into him a few times during PBA 50 tournaments down there. You know, and even a guy like that that is into bowling, where you can show, hey, these NASCAR guys, some of these guys can average 200 and have thrown a 300 game. Kind of with the Jimmy Allen, you know, when they had the Jimmy Allen Celebrity Challenge, where, you know, you get a couple of guys that Jimmy knows that are really into bowling. They might not be household names, but they're involved in the sport. And, you know, you show how good a couple of these guys actually could be. I thought, you know, when I saw the NASCAR guys, I'm like, oh, why isn't Joey Meyer in there? Because he's, you know, there's several guys in a league. It's at a center called Victory Lanes. It's on the outskirts of Charlotte. And there's several NASCAR guys in the league there.
But they have to be somebody that we know. I mean, to me, I don't care if a bunch of these crew guys are in a league and whatever the case may be. Announcers. That's fine. Right. And the announcer that they had was really good. You know, he bowled a 300 when he was 18 years old. Phil Parsons, when he was 18 years old or whatever the case may be.
Jamie Little.
Right. And so, she's like a trackside person type deal.
Right.
And that's fine. Those two are recognizable. I just think they needed some bigger name, a bigger name to kind of draw everybody in at the flipping channels. Holy crap, Kevin Harvick's bowling? You know, you stop.
My point, though, was with those two lanes, they were talking about how the right lane was so much tighter, so much oilier, and then they did give the characteristics about the pattern that it was the LBC pattern. And now here we go back to Portland, Maine, and for the LBC show, if that's the same pattern. And literally all those guys had no problem getting to the pocket. Where on the strike show, even a lot of guys struggled getting to the pocket. So here we go again, talking about topography, maybe of the building or the pair of lanes and the whole. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this how with one of the tournaments, I think it was the Delaware tournament, why they had to play so deep. And Sparky's comment was, well, we put that pattern out at a different center, you're going to see different results.
Right.
And here we were again with the LBC pattern. And frankly, those guys struggled on the right lane.
Yeah. And it's just you know, it's a pattern. They modified it from last year when it was at Blair Wauwatosa. This year, that pattern, everybody that shows up for the LBC National in Mount Prospect, Illinois, for that run is going to see exactly what they saw on TV. And, you know, some pairs, you know, are different. And, you know, one pair, and it's not necessarily topography. Some of it could be, too, just, you know, if they only use one lane more in, like, some event, they only set, like, the lane they used on the left lane, the lane one. And then all of a sudden the heads get worn out a little bit, and then all of a sudden the oil sets in farther, and you know, you get early friction. So that could have been, you know, something with it as well. There's all kinds of variables to it, and it's just. But you know, you thought the guys could have adjusted a little bit better, maybe used one ball in each lane or something like that if they had to.
Yeah,
I mean, but part of it is that I don't think there was any prize money on the line for the guys. I think they all just got appearance fees, and
I just was going to ask
that's
that.
It. So it's like, okay,
for the champions, there was no prize fund,
right?
For each event.
I don't think a trophy. So. Yeah, you got a trophy. I think it was just appearance fees. Don't quote me. I don't know for sure, but it sure kind of seemed that way with what was going on. It's not like everybody was taking their time to throw that one extra ball to win an extra 10 grand or something.
But True bowled well.
Yeah,
True was locked in.
He's really in his zone right now.
Yeah. I mean, he was locked in. Well, the first 2 days of the weekend, he was pretty locked in for sure on Friday and Saturday.
The three that impressed me the most were the three young guys, the up-and-comers.
Yes.
All three of them were studs. Now we know the Ginger Assassin because he made the 7-10 split. But that was my first take on the tall lefty.
Dio,
Dio.
I mean, I've seen Dio since he was 14.
The very kid made a smooth two-hander.
Yeah,
I don't know how he can see.
The national tournament when he was 14.
How can he see?
With the hair in the way.
How can he see? Yeah,
it's like a mop.
There's another kid, Eric Jones, out there. Same thing, lefty, two-handed, mop of hair, all that stuff. It's just, they make it work. I mean, they've both been pretty successful at the regional level, and they're working to try to make their way successfully on tour.
My junior had that type of haircut earlier in the year, and it just drove me nuts. It's no longer, but it was earlier in the year. Drove me absolutely crazy.
All three of the young guys, Cortez, Shank, I mean, these guys are just studs. Yeah. And I'm very impressed with all three games, and they struck a lot.
Yeah, too. But they're not on TV. Right. I mean, see, that's the thing. I mean, you as a PBA fan get to see how good they are, and you have not seen them on TV. No. It gives you an idea of how tough it is to get on TV bowling against these other folks.
Well, how rare it is. I mean, since they've had PTQs back when, you know, the new PBA started, when the Microsoft guys went, there's been like five guys that have come out of PTQs and won a tournament in 20 years.
That's not a lot.
And one of them is Bo Kroll this year.
Right.
I mean, think about that. That's pretty brutal. Sean Rash was the first one, and you know, a couple other ones in between. But yeah, it's not easy.
No, it's not.
It's not easy to even just get a check coming out of the PTQ, because PTQ is always on a kind of similar pattern. It might be like a foot different than the other patterns. But then you get to the main tournament, and all of a sudden, you know, the quality field goes up that little bit more with the exempt guys, and all of a sudden, it's real easy to get left behind.
Yep, no doubt. So we go from the strike competition to the spare competition. Yeah. Smallwood was god awful. It was horrible. Like, I'm pretty sure I could have got somebody out of the stance to miss spares the way he missed spares. That was brutal. And we could talk all we want about, well, it's TV. It's not as easy as it looks. Dude, you're a PBA, man. You should be able to do something as far as converting some of these spares.
Yeah, I was so confused this one. He's horrible. On the normal tour and makes a TV show.
He's good.
He throws all his spares hard and straight. Mm-hmm. Yet at this show, he was trying to hook everything.
Yeah.
I was more confused about that.
No idea. Couldn't tell you. But it was bad. It was very, very bad. And Darren Tang, you know, comes out victorious again.
Hard and straight.
Right? Yeah. And beats O'Neill in this deal. And O'Neill's a pretty good spare shooter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I found that, to me, I found that more interesting than the strike one, even though as I was watching Smallwood, I was like, this is not good for TV.
No.
Because people are watching this going, dude, what? Well, I can make that spare. I've made that spare. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Even this interview, you know, it's just like, well, I'm not a real good spare shooter. And I mean, it's just self-talking, self down.
Yeah, he ran himself right into it.
Right.
Yeah. That's a great point. The self-talk stuff. You know, if you view a negative outcome, more than likely it's going to be a negative outcome in anything you do in life.
Right.
That's normally how it always ends up. And then we get to the trick competition. Mm-hmm. Sam Cooley never should have been involved. Sam Cooley did not. If you're telling me that dude practiced, and like literally practice to get ready for this thing, I don't believe you. I want video evidence of him practicing any of this. That was some of the worst stuff between Smallwood and then Cooley. I'm like, who decided this dude was a good idea? Like, you could have found anybody else at this point that actually would have gave a crap. Like, any one of those three young kids that bowled on Saturday, tell you what. Which one of you want to be in the trick shot competition coming up when we get to it in March? Mm-hmm. One of those kids would have practiced probably for a couple of weeks getting ready for that thing to know, hey, man, this is going to be fun. I'm going to screw around with this and see what I can do.
Yeah.
So that thing was a complete joke. Cooley was awful.
Practice trick shots when you were like,
The stunt rash thing, the between your legs.
Yeah.
I bowled
that all the time.
So did I. My buddy, Jimmy Sorensen, who ended up being the quarterback for our high school football team, bowled that way every shot and averaged like 175. Mm-hmm. Bowling between his legs, spares, first balls, whole deal. And I could bowl that way too. I've done it in front of the kids. You know, over the years, I've bowled like that. So he did that. I was like, nah. I think a lot of people do that. I wasn't as impressed by that. Now, the flying eagle or whatever the hell they call it, that you wanted to see.
Yeah. Briggles told us that it was coming.
Yeah. And multiple tries at it, right? I mean, it wasn't just him. You had Tommy Jones try too. And he hit the one and he kicked it over to the other lane, but the ball crossed right in front of the seven pin and missed it. Otherwise, he would have had it.
Yeah. So, and
Rash got it, obviously.
Yeah. And just for trying to get there in that kind of a pressure situation, you still want to win for your team. Yeah. There might not be money on the line, but he knew that locked up the competition for his team, and it just nut it. I mean,
and he was running something else that he was doing that the other guys weren't doing. He was running two different trick shots on the two lanes.
Yeah.
So he was trying to throw it through the one chair.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, he was going between his legs and going back and forth. That can't be easy to do either. Like, I give Rash a lot of credit. Like, to me, him and Jones took it seriously, and Cooley did not care.
and Cooley should never have been in it. Like, right. Next year, if you're going to do that again, and I think people do find that entertaining. If you're going to do that again, you've got to find somebody that gives a crap and is going to practice, because it's that was embarrassing.
What did you think about the legends with the number signs for each one?
Good. Yeah, that's the judges. So that's like an NBA All-Star game for a dunk contest. Yeah, I like it. That's good.
I would have done it just a touch different. I would have been like the loudness of the applause out of the crowd.
Well, you could have done that too. Yeah.
You know,
sure. I mean, but the numbers thing, legends. I'm fine with the numbers thing. And it gives them something to do. They're there. They're seen. They're on TV. Right. They get interviews. Yeah. You let people hear from them. Who the hell's heard from Mike Albee in the last 20 years?
Right.
I mean, that was awesome having him out there and being a part of that. I interviewed him. God, when was it? Back in the mid-90s, I guess, was the last time I talked to him. I used to have his phone number. I'm pretty sure I don't have it anymore. Such a great guy.
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
Total
so
ambassador.
Right. So Troop and his group, they went on Friday. The other thing that I was thinking about, because I'm a dork and I'm old.
Only dork.
Dude, yellow and black to me is Sean Rash. Like, Sean Rash, Brunswick, those are his colors. And him in blue with Storm and somebody else wearing yellow and black, that felt so weird.
I had several people question me, like, why is Sean wearing blue?
Right.
It's
Storm.
Look at the rest of the jerseys on the team. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yellow and black, for me, will always be Rash's colors. Yeah. So that's just – every time I see yellow and black, I think of Sean Rash. Yeah. Okay, take a quick timeout, come back. On the other side of this timeout, can I ask you, how do you make All-Star Weekend better? How do you make the PBA All-Star Weekend better? It's a Spare Time Bowling Show. Download on your Odyssey app, or if you download your favorite podcast app, check us out on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page as well. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Dwight Dahlberg, Phil Brilo, back after this. Hey, it's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, 1250 AM, The Fan, along with Dwight Dahlberg from the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. Follow him on Twitter at Dewey300. He is Phil Brilo. Follow him on Twitter at Brew City Bowling, a.k.a. $2 Phil. Catch all of his fun stuff streaming on YouTube and so forth over the course of time. He's down in Illinois this coming up weekend for a PBA 50 event. And you can follow me at Sparky Radio and check me out after every Bucks game. Milwaukee Bucks games right there on 1250 AM. The Fan. Call in, tweet at me after every game. A lot of fun. Look forward to talking to y'all after games the rest of the year and through the postseason. All right. So I want to know, how do you make this All-Star Weekend better? I have another idea. I realize my golf idea is a fail, not because anybody told me, because I used my brain in the last week to figure it out. And that's because I don't think they would go for that, they being Fox, because it's not on Fox. So from that perspective, it wouldn't make much sense. NASCAR is on Fox.
Yeah.
That's why it makes sense. You cross-promote. It's all part of it. So over-air for over-air, I don't think they would necessarily go for that. I do have another idea of where I would like to cross-promote. Again, this group of people are not on Fox either, but it's a cable station. It's not really a direct competitor. It's a different audience to a degree than what this is. I'll tell you what that is first, coming up here in a few minutes. Phil, how do you make All-Star Weekend better? We talked about Strike Derby instead of what they did for the strike thing.
I want to see the bowlers getting, like, race cars. Get those legends, those smaller cars or go-karts even or something like that. I want to see some of these bowlers get out on a racetrack. I think that'd be a fun little cross from a – I mean, I know I've been to Charlotte Raceway before, and they have the Legends track in the infield that they can go around. It'd be fun to get – I bet you 4 or 6 of the PBA pros would love to, you know, get the seatbelts on and strapped in one of those Legends cars and just, you know, have a little 10-lap race or something like that. I think that'd be awesome. Yeah, I think that'd be really a lot of fun for that.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah. That's a very cool idea. And I did like, you know, having Albee, Parker Bone. I liked having Norm Duke. I liked having Pete Weber. Those guys all there. The three-person teams that they had, I like that idea too. I was fine with that. Allmendinger was awesome. He was the best guy they had. He's a huge Packers fan.
Oh, is he?
When they drafted A.J. Hawk, him and I got into a fight at the Milwaukee Media Center, at the Milwaukee Mile, about whether or not it was a good pick, because I hated the pick. I wanted Vernon Davis, the tight end. Yeah. And he loved the A.J. Hawk pick, and him and I went back and forth for like 15 minutes about it. So Allmendinger's a great dude. I've always loved him. He broke into NASCAR with the Red Bull team back in the day. And then it's been kind of in and out, you know, holding on or whatever the case may be. Super funny dude. He made that show worth it because he was funny. Everybody was laughing.
Yeah.
Randy Peterson was great being in guys' ears. So from that perspective, I thought that played really well. You know, if you could have Allmendinger again and then two other guys with personalities similar to his with a bigger name,
I think that helps.
Yeah, he made the show. I mean, very witty.
Yes.
Very quick, you know, to make people laugh type of guy.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, the love affair comment made me laugh out loud, where him and Kyle Troop had that love affair going on with his driver, you know, we're going to take them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one made me laugh straight out loud.
He's very good.
I'd love to see, like, take the top five up-and-coming youths, that Cortez Schenk, and the top five, have them have a strike roll-off, elimination roll-off. Take the top five ladies on the Ladies Pro Tour, give them that strike roll-off competition. Kind of showcase the other ones that we don't get a chance to see otherwise, other than just the top five.
Okay, so here's the thing, and I'm going to hack off Phil Brilo. Their ratings sucked, right?
Yeah.
Jeff Riggles put out a thing. Their ratings were horrible for this All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to make changes and try to make it better. And as much as I'm all about let the young guys have a thing, again, if I'm flipping channels, am I stopping? Nope. If it's the women, unless, and this is going to sound chauvinistic, unless they're smoking hot, most people aren't stopping for that either. And they're just rolling on through. Mm-hmm. So the way to integrate was the way they did it, of I can put all three together as long as I have a big enough star. I get the voting concept because MLB does it. They all do it. Doherty didn't belong out there, man. That never should have been allowed. He never should even have been on the ballot to be able to vote for. Now, maybe the issue Tom had was a lot of guys didn't want to do it. So you were limited who wanted to do it.
There was some heat going on in Delaware when they announced the four winners. There was some heat going on about how, like, Butler's going to believe that Doherty got voted in.
Here, do you know how you settle it?
They wanted to be there.
Do you know how you settle it?
Yeah.
The top four people in merchandise sales, you're bowling in the All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Case closed.
Yeah.
Four most popular merchandise sellers, right? We've got the most sold off of our website or whatever. You are the ones that are the all-stars that are going. If you want to bowl in this thing, then get your merchandise sales up.
Three right away.
Well, I mean, Belmonte, Tackett, Belmo, and Simonson, or True.
True. Yeah.
Of those five, pick four and go.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody didn't. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, what he did social media wise to get his votes and everything else, he played the game and he won, which is great.
Yeah.
But Tom Clark is not in the business about being nice. Tom Clark's in the business about making money and having TV ratings.
Yeah.
And that should have just been, I'm deciding who's going, and it's not going to be about anything else. And if they want to be pissed off, they can be pissed off. But it's about TV ratings, and they didn't have any. And that very well could have played into part of it as well.
It's just one of those things where just maybe some of the diehards, just after years of watching these, you know, the celebrity clashes and all the other stuff, some of the diehards just kind of went like, I'm not watching this weekend.
Okay.
And as you said, I know, so that's part of it. But yeah, part of it probably was when you put Jimmy Allen, Chris Paul, everybody knows there's going to be some star power there. When you say NASCAR, that kind of leaves it
with no names outside of Allmendinger.
NASCAR AJ Allmendinger clash or something like that.
Right.
Maybe you draw a few more in. But yeah, you got to have. I think you just got to have that title name.
Okay.
One or another.
So that's how you all talk about making the All Star Weekend better. I'm going to tell you my latest greatest idea.
Okay.
I love it. I think it's really good. I do. Tom Clark, I love this idea. I don't know if they would play ball with us, with the PBA Tour or not. I don't know what Fox's reaction would be to it. My favorite TV show every year for the last, what's it been, 3 years, 4 years now? This is the fourth year or fifth year of it, is the Tournament of Champions on Food Network, right? Guy Fieri hosts it. Okay.
That's awesome.
Love it. It's my favorite. In fact, I tweeted that. So I'll tell you what it is real quick.
Okay.
So it's essentially 32 chefs.
Okay.
Right. And it's a bracket style. So they determine seeding the whole thing. Now, this year they had a play-in like they do for the NCAA tournament. So chefs competing each other to get in as the last seed in each of the four regions or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And then they compete against each other. And they have this huge machine. I get so excited talking about the show. Randomizer. I love it. The randomizer, right. Phil does watch it. The randomizer. So, like, you have a protein. You have all these categories.
Yeah.
And then Guy Fieri spins it.
Yeah.
And then whatever hodgepodge crap it comes up with, these people get 30, 35 minutes to go create something with whatever ingredients they're given and whatever style they're given. They have to use a different piece of equipment that they have to use in it. And then they're judged by these outstanding chefs that come in, and it's a blind judging. So they don't know whose plates they're judging. It could be anybody. They have no idea. And then they taste it, and then they grade it on category. So it's 10 points for this category, 10 points for that category, 40 points for that category, whatever. And then it's done. And then they bring the judge, they bring the two contestants back out. He's like, all right, and the winner is, with a score of 82 to 78. The winner is, he points, they go to break, they come back, he points, and then up on the big screen shows who won, who advanced, and they look and see who they play next. Okay. So it's awesome. I absolutely love it. This is what I would love to see. I would love to see the PBA and these chefs get together with Food Network and do something there. Give me three or four PBA bowlers that think they're really good cooks, and let's have them have some type of PBA cooking show competition on Food Network, right? That type of deal. Mm-hmm. And then take Guy Fieri and some of these top chefs on Food Network and have them be a part of the All-Star Bowling Challenge and bring their audience, because these dudes all have huge Twitter followings on Twitter. All of these guys, Jet Tila, all of these guys, all of these, right? So you bring some of them in to do that. You bring some of the bowlers in to do a cooking competition type deal on HGTV, and you try to blend those two together. That, I think, would be a lot of fun. But it's got to be, you know, some of the top names. It can't be some of the random names that nobody knows. It's got to be people that Bobby Flay, he's got his own, you know, several TV shows on Food Network. Guy Fieri obviously is Food Network. He's pretty much the face of Food Network at this point.
Enough, like you said, Jet Tila, Brooke Williamson, Mayland. Yes. I mean, there's enough chefs. If you're watching Tournament of Champions, you're going to know enough of the names that are on.
The Dancing Spice Queen, all of them. Yeah. I mean, Manit Chauhan. Right, I mean, these are the ones, to me, that's what I would love to see. And I bet you money that Guy Fieri and all these people would absolutely love it. And you put it in California, wherever in LA, they've got a ton of bowling centers out there. They bowl that. Correct. Out there, you do it there in California, so they don't have to travel to cold weather. Those on the East Coast would love to travel to warm weather. And it works. And I think it could be a lot of fun. Now, Fox would have to sign off on it, obviously. Food Network would have to sign off on it and have that idea. But that'd be fun, because it would give them another show that they could do that would draw in PBA fans, and you cross promote it. It would work.
And there's enough. I mean, people are working in the restaurant industry that are bowlers. I mean, there's, you know, out in Portland, okay, our friends at Bayside Bowl, Sunday nights is a bar and restaurant league, and it's full because there's a lot of people in the hospitality industry. They get that Friday, they get that Saturday, that Sunday night or Monday off after a long weekend, and they want to go out and be social with everybody. What's a great place to do it?
Bowling alley.
Bowling alley. Yeah. That's right, man.
Right.
So well, there's a few of those around.
Because I never watched it, so I'm kind of just the individual person in the room here that is looking both ways. Playing Tom Clark's role, would you think Tom Clark would come back and say, Sparky, sure, that's a great idea, but we're trying to relate sport to sport?
Nope. Don't care. Yeah. You're trying to grow your audience.
Star. I mean,
your audience is what you're trying to grow.
Right.
They are on already an app, Food Network, HGTV, or they're already on Discovery Plus app, right? Yeah. Which has a ton of people. So now whoever it may be on that app is looking through episodes and sees the PBA bowling cook-off or whatever you want to call it. Now I reach a section of that demo that I'm not going to have otherwise. How else do I get in front of those people, men or women? Because both watch that. Now, I don't know if the women demographic outweighs the men demographic for ratings, probably, but there's a ton of men that still watch that, watch all the different shows on there. We watch a ton of shows on Food Network and HGTV and Magnolia TV and all that stuff because we're old people and we watch that stuff. But that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to bring their audience in. And if you're Food Network, you're trying to bring in the audience of the PBA. Maybe it's to bring in more male demographic or whatever the case may be to watch and understand kind of what you're all about.
Yeah, I mean, you look at other sports that try to do it once a year. I mean, you look at even Major League Baseball, they do the Celebrity All-Star Game once a year, that kind of thing. So where they're trying to get other people that might not watch baseball, but they know somebody, you know, that's either a music in the music industry or an actor or something like that, and bring them in. It might be bad softball, but it's still softball.
Right. I got to tell you, I tweeted at Guy Fieri because I had an idea. See, it's not just bowling ideas I have. I have ideas for everybody. I tweeted at Guy Fieri.
Sparky's restaurant opening 2020.
Right. A couple weeks ago, I tweeted at him and I said, hey, man, I was like, next year to take this to the next level, you should have point spreads on each one of these brackets because it's decided by points.
Right.
So you could have,
you know, the three seed is favored by 3 points in this thing. Because some of these things come down to 1 point difference. Some are a 3 point difference, 2 point difference, 4 point difference, right? Whatever the case may be, that would really add to the intrigue and the talk among the chefs of like, y'all really think I'm a 3 point dog to this person? You think there's that much difference?
Yeah.
Like, it really could add some drama to it. And then I don't know who determines the point spreads. You'd have to figure that out because that's who they're going to be pissed at, depending on who creates the point spreads. Yeah. But that would add another layer to that tournament of champions. Could be fun.
You can bet on sports that are judged, right? You're in the Olympics, you can bet on.
Well, you could bet on this, but the problem is they record this thing in like October or November. Yeah. So you couldn't bet on it unless it was going to be live every week.
Right.
But that would open up a whole other can of worms if you could, for no doubt. Yeah. All right, take a quick time. I'll come back on the other side. The next question is this thing even worth doing anymore, right? Is this even worth doing? You've seen other sports kind of just say, we're done. We're not doing it anymore. We're going to do something else. Is it worth doing for the PBA Tour anymore this All-Star Week? And we'll discuss that next here on the Spare Time Bowling Show. Hey, it's C. Sparky Fiverr, 1250 AM, The Fan, along with White Albrecht of the Spare Time Pro Shop in New Berlin. Phil Brylow, $2 Phil. Follow him at Bruce City Bowling. Follow Dwight at Dewey300. Follow me at Sparky Radio, or check out all the stuff over at 1250amthefan.com. Gentlemen, we've been talking about All-Star Weekend for the entire show. Let's wrap it up and talk about whether or not it's even worth doing kind of going forward, or would we be better off just having another tournament, or would we be better off having another major added to this with a bigger prize amount instead of having an All-Star Weekend. And the past All-Star Weekend has normally been kind of up against the Super Bowl, which kind of makes sense. If you have a regular tournament, you're not going to have the same viewership. This was not against anything. And we just kind of threw it on the schedule and went. Now, again, my understanding is you get so many dates, the time frames or whatever the case may be. So these are 3 days right here in this frame that maybe that you have to fill. And you decided to fill these 3 days with an All-Star Weekend type show. I don't know. There's a part of me that says I would rather either have another major for a bunch of money with a title sponsor. Easier said than done. It's hard to get sponsorships. Or B, just bring it and go to another city. I mean, you're going around anyhow. As we've talked about before, I still would like to see a regional tour where 1 year, you know, you're out west and all your tournaments are out west. The next year, you're in the south. All your tournaments are in the south. The next year, you're in the east. Because of driving, you want to make it practical for all these guys that are driving from one stop to the next. So maybe if you're in the Midwest this year, add another stop and do that instead of an All-Star Weekend, Phil.
It's, you know, we've had the concept for years with All-Stars, but it started with Chris Paul, and then it went to Jimmy Allen, and now it's with NASCAR. And I think three shows is just too much.
I'm assuming they get paid for this. So the PBA, if the PBA is making money with NASCAR, this is not going to go away.
No.
If the ratings were that bad, NASCAR may say, we're out. We don't need to do this anymore, though.
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, you got to get a little more star power in there on the non-bowling side. And, you know, there are a lot of conference basketball tournaments this weekend, too. I think that could have dinged them a little bit. I mean, I was just out in Vegas, and there were four conference tournaments going on in Vegas at the same time last weekend. So everybody's watching conference basketball, and It could have been bad time frame, but I just think two shows. I think the third show just kind of dragged it out. It could have been a lot more exciting with just a couple of shows and a little less time frame.
It was also, unfortunately, the third show. I hate to use the word, but a clunker. Yeah, you know, too. I mean, both the women struggled. The scores were super low, 140, 130. I think Sparky hit it right in the head. I think it's all based off the ratings. Obviously, the ratings are good. It's going to stick around. If the ratings are bad, I agree that they could pull it real quick. Okay, we've tried, failed, boom, done, out. Reading a lot of social media on this, you're going to always get the larger percentage of the guys are the diehards.
Yeah.
They want to see another title, another show.
Yeah, I think what could be fun instead of that just doubles format, do the old celebrity bowling where they each bowled on one lane, and whoever had the worst count, that person that had the better count goes over to the worst count and makes a spare.
Right.
I mean, I think that helps it out too, because then the pros are getting more shots. The scores could be a little bit higher. I mean, even if the pros shoot at a picket fence on the right side, they never know when to shoot at. It's like, okay, but here's something
here's
different.
The thing is, other formats going to increase the ratings, though. That's the thing.
It's so you hard to tell sometimes what grabs the public. Yeah, what grabs the public interest, and a lot of times it's just star power. Why are the majors always grab the biggest ratings in the PBA Tour? Because it's usually the biggest stars.
Correct.
Look at the U.S. Open this year. or you
and
get
fans it. Fans and bowlers know how tough it is to get to the top five.
Right. And, you know, you get it. Occasionally you get the story where you get a Ryan Barnes, you get a second or third generation bowler
story,
in there,
yeah.
Where that turns into part of the story at the Players Championship. Right. And you had Nate Purchase, who's a young gun making his way out on tour, that had a good week there as well. You know, it's just there's none of those stories going in the All-Star Weekend, because you kind of know it's going to be here's some pros, here's some NASCAR guys, and let's make it happen.
See, again, I'll give you another idea.
Okay.
Because this is what I do. I come up with ideas, time lapse, and we move on. Why not do something where, because it's recorded half the time anyhow, these things, right?
Almost all of them. I think all these All-Stars are all the way through have always been recorded.
Are always recorded, usually, right? So come up with however you're going to come up with determining who your all-stars are. Do it on a cruise ship. Make it a come-along for PBA fans.
Yeah.
Advertise it all year and say, okay, we're doing this cruise coming up in September or whatever it is. It's going to be for our all-star show that'll air next year. Yeah. If you want to come along and be a part of it, you know, you get a cabin here. We do this. We do that. There's bowling alleys on the thing, and we know they can do it because – who just did that? Kyle Troop did the bowling cruise thing.
Yep.
So make that the All-Star Weekend and have that whole thing packed with bowling fans that want to be there because they're PBA fans type deal.
Now,
then make that a special show.
I like that idea due to the fact that it's never been done.
Correct.
Okay. So now the viewer might say, hey, you know, they're bowling on a cruise ship. You know, it's going to be just like the Stream Machines. If they did a PBA tournament and the TV finals were on Stream Machines, I think at least the first week, you might see a lot of people tune in just to be able to see the difference between free fall and stream.
Oh, that's a great idea. You had the Stream Machines into it for sure on the cruise ship, and now that's your first chance to see it on TV.
I have to think the average fan would want to see that just like the cruise ship.
To see what it looks like.
Right.
See,
I mean, are they waddling to the line? Because I've never been on a cruise.
Things don't move.
Right. Yeah. I'm assuming because of the weight, it's
yeah,
not
right.
Feel the water, the whole difference.
Right.
Get seasick on the lake.
That could be enough to affect a lot of stuff.
But I mean, think about it. You've seen college basketball be on these huge military ships, right? Aircraft carriers. Yeah. They've been able to have a basketball game out on an aircraft carrier. That's another thing that you could possibly do with bowling. Same type of thing. And then have the military personnel that are there stationed wherever this thing is stationed be your audience.
Well, it's a great – I mean, Bowlers of Veterans Link is just the huge charity that bowling works with, and there's your tie-in right
yes,
there.
Yes, correct.
Boom, you're set.
And I think that would be awesome, and it would be a great look. And they're doing all these weird one-offs in the middle of September. I mean, that would be a great, great one to put July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
You know, record it ahead of time or whatever. You don't have to have it live. And then run that as your last show of the season or whatever, July 4th weekend.
I think it's a great idea. Again, just because, again, I would love to see how they would bowl on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
You know, I would definitely tune in for that.
I think it would be a lot of fun. And, again, everybody on that cruise ship is part of the PBA come-along, right? That's the goal here.
Right.
And away you go. And then you get maybe Carnival Cruise Lines to sponsor you for the year because you're doing the giveaway with Carnival Cruise Lines. So they get all this additional advertising all year with their logo up on TV or whatever.
Enough seating in the crowd for the people that are on the cruise. There doesn't have to be PBA fans or anything. They're just there having a cruise to come in and take
you got a captive audience.
Right.
Uh-huh. Your cruise away moment of the game. That could be a thing all year.
What do you do on a cruise ship? You drink and eat, right?
Yes. Absolutely. And again, now there's a reason. Now these all-stars really want to be a part of it. I mean, if you're saying – they were kind of bent out of shape because some of them didn't make it one way or the other to be here. And all it was an appearance fee. And maybe the appearance fee was really good. I don't know.
Yeah.
But now, hey, you, your wife, your kids come on a cruise and you have to do our one bowling event. We'll do one autograph session. We'll do another night. We'll do dinner with the pros. And you can have dinner with Jason Belmonte and these guys. We'll do a Q&A on the ship that only you and the bowlers get to do. Like, you can literally have an event every day type deal that you could have as part of it. And you could even do a pro-am on the ship with people that bring their bowling balls that want to be a part of it. You pay extra money. You do a pro-am one day too. Yeah. And then when you get to TV and you're showing all these different things, I promise you, Tom Clark, people will be like, damn, that looks cool. I'm going next year.
Yeah.
And it will build. And you will continue to see that grow. Now, again, as it grows, you can't decide, well, we're not going to put the top five on anymore. We're going to put players 20 through 25 on the ship because that's not going to be the same thing for these people.
Right.
Like, if you're going to do it, you have to do it. And maybe it's, you know,
it's, you know, four all-stars and four legends, and you keep them involved. Because some of these older people would love to meet Pete Weber or Walter Ray or Mike Albee.
Young people aren't going to take a cruise. It's typically older people taking the cruises.
Yeah. I mean, so from that aspect, you get both of kind of what you want.
Right.
I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, that one I like.
Between the Food Network and the cruise, I'm here all day, Tom Clark. I'm here all day. Steve Sparky, Fiverr, Dwight Albrecht of the Spare Time Bro Shop. Bill Brown, catch him down in Illinois for the PBA 50 Series Tournament coming up this weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of the Spare Time Bowling Show. Download on your Odyssey app or download your favorite podcast app. Enjoy your day. Toodles.